Monday, January 26th. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show here on Damon Bruce Plus. Like, subscribe, all of those YouTube-y sorts of things. We got quite a bit to talk about here today. Starting with the fact that the big game is coming up. It is, what, super sexy? No, not really. Patriots, Seahawks. Eh, you know, big market. Sure, New England, we get that. The rebirth. Post Tom Brady, okay, that's a storyline. Seahawks, Sam Darnold redemption, there's a storyline. But a rough weekend for Santa Clara, a rough week for Santa Clara is going to be on full display as one of the most talked about storylines, whether Santa Clara wants it or not, coming up in this Super Bowl. We're going to talk about that. A lot of things here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. First of all, here's a little storyline for you. Big game is coming up and you want to be a hero at your party. Well, why not go ahead and order $250 more of catering from Ike's? You get $49 off by using code SAVE49. Do it. Do it this week at your office. Be an absolute hero around your office. Be a hero in a large gathering showing up with Ike's. And again, $49 off using code SAVE49 over at Ike's. Our friends at the Dubliner, we love you. Thanks so much. I don't know where you're going to be watching the big game, the little games, the kind of games in between, all of it. I don't know where you're going to watch the combine. You can go ahead and do that at the Dubliner. It's not really a sports bar. It's not an obnoxious bar. It's not a douchebag tech bro bar. It is a bar. The way a bar is supposed to be. Dimly lit. Not too loud. Whole bunch of locals. Normal people. The best Guinness pull in all of San Francisco. Dubliner West Portal. Go say hi to Kenny and John for me. And again, when you got some play, you want to start throwing around. Do it over on Sleeper. It is the world's fastest growing fantasy site with parlays that you can build and get huge payouts on by selecting your degree of difficulty. Go ahead and check out Sleeper. Use promo code Damon. Get a $100 deposit match up to your very first deposit, up to $100, and use the link that is right in the description of this video. And there we go. We are off and running here today. So, two football truths, more than anything else, I think rang true from this past weekend. That is, take the points when they are there and run the damn ball when everything else stops working. You got to be able to run the damn ball. If Denver had been able to run the damn ball or taken points that were available to them early in a game before a blizzard hit the field, maybe they are going to the Super Bowl with Stidham as their quarterback. The Patriots were not great shakes at all in that game, but they didn't make the big mistakes, and they didn't let Sean Payton make the best defensive play of the game by electing to not take points to go up 10-0 early in that game. A colossal mistake that came back to bite him. The Sean Payton mistake isn't exactly as noticeable because he was down 4 late in the game. He went for it instead of taking a field goal to be down 1, which I think changes the calculus of how that game ends an awful lot. So, you know, the special teams blunder that the Rams made is a huge part of why they're also heading home. But look, it was a that was a hell of an NFC title game. It was a lot more entertaining, weather aside, from that AFC title game. And I do think that in 2 Sundays from now, we are watching the Seahawks celebrate a Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. Again, Santa Clara's bad week just got worse because either the Seahawks win it all in their rival stadium with Mike McDonald being a second-year head coach to deliver the promised land that has evaded Kyle Shanahan. And there are now 2 NFC West head coaches who are young up-and-comers who have Super Bowls before Kyle's got his. That would be bad. Also bad, more historically than it's going to feel bad. But if the Patriots actually win this game, there is no more debate about the single most successful, greatest NFL franchise. It becomes the New England Patriots. Again, when I was a kid, that would have been absurd. But the New England Patriots, with a Super Bowl win, will have 7, breaking a tie that they currently have with the Pittsburgh Steelers for the most trophies in their trophy case. This is their record 12th Super Bowl appearance. Now, if they lose, now only winning 6 Super Bowls and 12 appearances, well, that's something to laugh at, but it feels like, oh, that's not great. But man, if the Patriots win, that is their 7th Lombardi trophy, and they are the most Super Bowl winningest franchise in the history of a sport that measures success based on who's got the most of those Lombardi trophies. So, you know, it's going to be the Seahawks or the Patriots. I think if you are a Niner fan, you're rooting for the Patriots, history be damned, more than rooting for the Seahawks under any scenario. But I got to tell you, I am happy for Sam Darnold. What an amazing turn of events. Sam Darnold is about to be, and this is a shocker. I told this to Kruger, and you really, we had to think about it a minute. Sam Darnold will be the very first USC quarterback to ever start a Super Bowl. How about that? In the history of the USC Trojans, that feels just weird to say out loud, but that's the truth. Sam Darnold is also going to be the first and is the first quarterback from that 2018 draft class, which was, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, number one overall, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold reaches a Super Bowl before Lamar, before Baker, before Josh Allen. How about that? Like I said, an awkward week around Santa Clara, but boy, the weeks around Santa Clara have been awkward because of that whole EMT station thing. And we've talked about it a little. It's going to get talked about a lot. This isn't a sexy Super Bowl, which means you're going to have people sitting in San Francisco looking for something to talk about other than the damn game. And that is the first, second, and third thing that's going to be brought up by anybody, because it's a conspiracy theory that you can just float out there. Nobody knows the real answer. Nobody knows if it's real. Nobody knows if it's an illusion. Nobody knows if there is a reason to debunk this. Nobody knows if there's a reason to fear it, and actually the Niners should be moving. What do they do? It is going to be talked about. You're going to get blimp shots that feature the EMT station all season long, or all wake up, or all walking up to the game. You're probably going to hear it talked about in the game. And this is one of those perception becomes reality things. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't even matter anymore. It's out there. I hate that that is how information now works, but it is out there. There is no trust. There's no truth. And even if you can prove that nothing here at this station affects what's going on the 49ers practice field, you are one high ankle sprain, you are one torn ACL, you are one non-contact injury away from this story coming back up again, whether it's been debunked or not. They're going to say, look, further proof, further evidence. You know what I would be doing if I were the San Francisco 49ers right now? Instead of trying to gather a group of scientists to prove this, what I would do, and this is what I want to know, because right next to the 49ers practice facilities is that Santa Clara youth soccer facility. Are Santa Clara youthful soccer players being hurt more often than other municipalities' youth soccer teams? Because if it was affecting the 49ers, you figure it would be affecting the health of soccer players next door as well. So give me a study on that. Give me a study on that. What are the injury ramifications at that place, since it is directly next door to the 49ers practice facility? Do they see an uptick in odd, hard to explain injuries like the 49ers have? And believe it or not, the 49ers weren't even the most injured team in football. I know it feels like it, but we got some proof that we'll get to a little bit later on. But man, a bad week for Santa Clara. It's going to get worse. This Super Bowl is not going to be like, let's shine a bright light on this stadium and how great it is. It's going to be quite the opposite, I think. Plus, you've also got this going on. buddy of mine who was up in Seattle last night, huge Seahawk fan. Congratulations, Ryan Nail. Said, hey, man, any straight dope about Super Bowl tickets? I said, yeah, bring your money, dope. That's how you're going to get Super Bowl tickets. Look at these prices, by the way. This is get-in prices for Super Bowl 60. We're talking about 400 section. The worst seats you will find in any NFL stadium, basically, are going to be going for $7,500. $6,000 to sit up at 400. Look at that one price right in the middle of the everybody here's got cash section right there. $51,000 for a Super Bowl ticket. I mean, forget it. Forget it. I don't care how much money I would ever have. $51,000 for about 4.5 hours of entertainment? No, thank you. That's just crazy, man. These prices are nuts. And I understand that I just went to the most expensive national championship game on record. Let me tell you, I'm not doing that without an awful lot of help from an incredibly wealthy benefactor and friend who got me to that game. Good Lord, look at these prices. To go to a stadium that's in the middle of nowhere you would ever want to be going on a vacation that was that expensive. So good luck. Good luck, everyone. By the way, if you're thinking about betting this game, right now it's Seattle -5. I like Seattle -5. I do. The Patriots are good, but they ain't that good. And every single time they've run up against a real no-joke defense, things have not gone well. And as a matter of fact, forget how I feel about it. Let's go to the numbers. Kyle Madsen, who I used to work with at the radio station, who now has his own show up in Sacramento. I love Kyle. Kyle writes for Niners Wire. And he broke down some pretty interesting, what I think, information that you need to consider before you lay any bets in this Super Bowl. The Patriots have had 28 offensive possessions here in the postseason. Only 8 of them have reached opponents' territory after starting in their own territory. Only 5 of those possessions have gained 50 or more yards. And 4 of those 28 possessions, and this does not count kneel downs, went for negative yards. I think the Patriots had a really good year, but when the Patriots run up against a really good defense, that's when they become in a little bit of trouble. And I think the Patriots have a really good defense, but I think the Seahawks are more equipped to deal with New England's defense than New England's offense is built to play that Seattle defense. This Seattle defense is the best in football. With all due respect to the Houston Texans, Seattle's has been even better. Goes up against better competition. Goes up against Puka Nacua, who went bonkers in that game. Jackson Smith and Jigba. He was really good. When it comes to, man, it stinks the 49ers aren't in this. I'll agree with you. But listen to these numbers here. From Niner Wire, again, Kyle Madsen doing some work so I don't have to. This is from Sports Info Solutions. They tallied each team's total games missed due to injuries. Then they went one step further and estimated the number of points lost based on which players were actually out and how much time they actually missed. So, for example, Nick Martin missing 4 games to injury would be less impactful on the scoreboard than Christian McCaffrey missing 1 game due to injury. So not all injuries are created equal. It turns out that the 49ers neither had the most games lost nor the most points lost due to injury, but they did lead all playoff teams in that second category. And obviously points were hard to come by against Seattle. Sports Information Solutions said San Francisco's roster was down 262 total games missed due to injury, which was the 7th highest total in the league. God, it felt like the most because of the impact of the injuries and who they were to. But the 7th highest total in the league, but 4th amongst teams that reached the postseason. San Francisco 49ers, due to those injuries, lost about 200 points. Do you think that they are the one seed with 200 more points this year? I do. So do you. Those injuries mattered. They piled up and they mattered. It wasn't as bad as it felt when you look around the rest of the league. And again, EMT station aside, there are teams not practicing next to EMT stations who are more injured than the 49ers. As people are forever trying to explain why everyone is getting hurt in football, the biggest culprit to all of these injuries, in my mind, is the sport of football. It's not negligent training. It's not any electromagnetic signal. It's not a black hole. It's not a voodoo doll. It's not bad juju. It's not drafting weak players. The sport of football is violent. It erodes very healthy young bodies as fast as any action on the planet. So, you know, football is going to be full of football injuries as long as we playing football. And that's the one thing that no one wants to admit, because it doesn't make for a very sexy topic. And it doesn't generate a lot of clicks, does it? Imagine if I right now go ahead on Twitter and write, the biggest problem with football injuries is the sport of football. I would be 100% correct, and it would be summarily ignored. It makes way too much sense to go ahead and get picked up or trend or anything. Oh, I'm trending for stating the obvious. And here's another thing that a lot of 49er fans, they don't want to admit. And it's a lot of thing that I don't think a lot of 49er fans can really speak to, because a lot of 49er fans are clearly just watching the 49ers. And the only time they watch other teams is when those other teams are playing the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners were clearly, even with that one seed on the line in week 18, the Niners were clearly the third best team in their own division this year. The Seahawks were better. The Rams are better. The Niners aren't bad, but they're not as good. They're not as deep. They're not as well built as those other teams. And one of the reasons why, and I know that nobody wants to hear this anymore, but it's true. And man, I just went over this with Kruger on Wake Up, by the way. Phenomenal show this morning. Check that out as well as you're moving about your day, my good friends. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be the best player in this Super Bowl. I don't think there's anybody who is as good at his position as Jackson Smith and Jigba is at his. This guy is an incredible wide receiver. He was open all last night. All last night. Anytime Darnold went to him, it was a first down. It just felt like that. I think he's more state-of-the-art than anyone in the Super Bowl. 10 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown. You had Puka Nacua, by the way, also having a monster game. You know, you basically got one receiver teams here. One receiver teams. But what a receiver he is. And Jackson Smith and Jigba was the 20th pick in his draft, which happened to be the second draft in a row that the 49ers did not have a first-round pick, because of the Trey Lance trade. Somebody said, Damon, why are you living in the past? Because that one decision, maybe more than any other decisions in the rearview mirror, affected the present to the negative. It cannot be overstated. It cannot be glossed over how staggeringly, devastatingly bad of a everyone probably should have been fired draft pick that really was. The Niners panicked and drafted Trey Lance. Panicked. Well, it's COVID. We don't know what to do. We want to be more like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Let's go get a guy from North Dakota State who's playing against high school kids. They panicked. And they made the worst draft pick in the history of the franchise. And it affects them to this day. It does. Now, when it comes to drafting players, it will forever be an inexact science. It will forever be an inexact science. So as I've said, I want to see the 49ers this year in free agency go get Alex Pierce, go get Wandale Robinson from the New York Giants, go and get multiple proven, have done it. Excuse me. Thank you very much. Go get proven wide receivers. Because all of Kyle's experiments fail. Don't believe me? I said get Cooper Kupp. I had people in many chats, either on Wake Up or right here, say, damn, Cooper Kupp is over the hill. The best is behind him. You're going to want to go younger before you go Cooper Kupp. What, are you serious? Yeah. And look, Cooper Kupp was not great this year. He had 47 catches for just 593 yards. Couldn't help but notice that he had a big couple of plays in the playoff game and scored a touchdown. But Cooper Kupp only, I think, had three touchdowns all year long, 47 catches, 593 yards. These are incredibly pedestrian numbers that would have been second on the 49ers in wide receiver production. Don't tell me you don't need Cooper Kupp when you're serving the crap that this team served up as wide receiver all year long. Beyond that, if you'd like me to jog your memory, who is the one free agent signing I stumped for the most? Keenan Allen. Go sign Keenan Allen. Go sign Keenan Allen. Don't overthink it. If you're going to lose him to the Chargers, offer him more money than the Chargers are offering. Is Keenan Allen perfect? No, but he's better than everything you got, so go get him. And guess what? Keenan Allen this year had 81 catches, 777 yards. That would have put him second on the team in receptions ahead of behind just Christian McCaffrey. It would have blown the doors off of any wide receiver's production in terms of catches and yards. And beyond that, his 81 catches would have been the most by any Niner player wide receiver since Anquan Boldin in 2013. Let me say that again. Keenan Allen had more production this year than any 49ers wide receiver has had in terms of catches since Anquan Boldin in 2013. This team who gave us Jerry Rice, this team who gave us Terrell Owens, is now the team that gives you Danny Gray and Jacob Cowing and a whole bunch of guys who are the Jordan Watkinses. He ain't ever going to play no matter what. He got hurt, then he came back, and we never even got to know him because we didn't even see him. This team makes a bad habit out of drafting dudes it will not play at running back and at wide receiver, but especially wide receiver. Because I really do think, like, have Isaac Garendo been given a chance to play, he would have been fine. He could have done the 400 yards that Brian Robinson Jr. gave you. He would have done that. But he's just on the outside looking in and is never going to be allowed inside again because this team drafts players that it instantly finds ways to hate and not play, not some of the time, but all of the time. Sip of the day, Golden. You know, Deebo Samuel turned into a little bit of a diva. Kyle was using him in ways that felt predictable. So that came to an end. The Brandon Ayuk situation, for reasons that will not, cannot be explained, that came to an end. And now there's actual chatter that they're thinking of trading Ricky Pearsall. Now, Ricky Pearsall has been a freaking, you know, forget about like just a pint glass. Forget about an extra Guinness, you know, glass, forget about a big frosty mug. When it comes to frustration, a drink of frustration, Ricky Pearsall has been one of those yards. You know, when you're drinking a yard of beer, he's been that frustrating. But he is talented. He is young. And he's the one player that you probably would have played more had he been more healthy. And the Niners are actually thinking about walking away from him. Who's going to play wide receiver next year? You aren't going to draft shit to play that position because you never do. It's officially time to go into Kyle Shanahan's office and John Lynch's office, if you're Jed York, and just saying, guys, you're not good enough. You're certainly not as good as Seattle. You're certainly not as good as the Rams. And those are the two teams we're chasing. And they got GMs who are crushing their picks. Neither of you are doing that. I don't know who's responsible, Kyle. But, you know, John, we're going to ceremoniously promote you to a Niner good guy position. But when it comes to selecting draft picks, you ain't it, Cat. And Kyle, every single time you're hunch brings you to trading up for a dude, that dude sucks. Not some of the time, but pretty much all of the time in 9 drafts that you have presided over. Your track record throughout 9 drafts as a personnel department ain't good enough. It's time to get some new eyes on this. Now, that won't happen. Because the NFL draft is in 88 days and NFL free agency starts in 43 days. And this team is running out of time in the Shanahan, John Lynch grand experiment. Next year is year number 10. And I'm as big of a Kyle is good at this guy as you're going to find anywhere. But good at it doesn't get you forever. It doesn't. So how much more time? How much more time and how much longer are they going to be allowed to just repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again? It's tough. It's tough out there. None of this is easy. But the Niners have gone about making it harder on themselves than it feels like is necessary. It's time for new ideas. It's time for somebody who has the power to stand up to Shanahan and say, hey, you know that pick that you're stumping about? That guy sucks. That guy sucks. You won't play him at all. That's the wrong choice, Kyle. Does anyone in the Niners front office have the freedom to go up and tell Kyle, you don't know jack shit about drafting wide receivers? You care so much about it, it's the position you played, but you are clearly blind to what you think you need. Well, how about this? Whatever you think you need doesn't produce a player you're playing at all. For 9 years, the running backs that you have drafted were either not good enough or moved on from. Look at it this way. Anyone but Christian McCaffrey is someone you haven't liked back there. All of your wide receivers, not some of them, all of them stink. You're just going to keep on going about this process that brings you to 49er wide receivers who stink, and you're going to claim that you love your process? I think it's time to get somebody to make your process a little less comfortable for you to love with different information that might lead you to a better player. Got a lot of good folks in here. Good to see you. Good to see you. So great to have you in here. Lots of regulars. Yeah, Mostert was a beast. Picked him up off the scrap heap and then turned out not good enough. Not good enough. They're too busy waiting for perfect to stick with pretty good. Damon, I'll see you when 95.7 is restructured. No, you're going to see me on YouTube kicking both these hometown radio stations' ass all week long at the Super Bowl. That's what you're about to see. I don't think I need these radio stations as much as they need me. We'll find out if anyone's smart enough to acknowledge that. But man, we're doing just great over here now. And I'm thankful that you're a part of it. So please hit like and subscribe. I really, really appreciate you being here. Did you hear Tom Brady basically hire Clint Kubiak during that game last night? I did. I know that you can't hire a coach from a team that's still going to the Super Bowl, but I would not be surprised at all for Tom Brady to have found Clint Kubiak in a corner of Lumen Field and just said, "What do you think about being my next head coach? I'm going to pair you with Fernando Mendoza." If you are the Raiders, you are either going to hire Sean McDermott this week or you're going to hire Clint Kubiak when the Super Bowl is over, aren't you? Those are the guys to hire. Either one of those guys, to me, would be the right guy for the Raiders job. Again, they're about to draft my guy, Fernando Mendoza, which means I am going to turn my critical football eye back to the Las Vegas Raiders. Not because they're in my market, not because I care about their success, but if they go up and screwing up one of the greatest football gifts to ever have been born in Fernando Mendoza, to me, I'm going to be pissed about it. So I am going to have a critical eye on that team now. You've got to pair him with an offensive-minded coach. McDermott is that guy who's had an incredible amount of success, but still ran his course in Buffalo. Or you go to a up-and-coming wunderkind in Clint Kubiak, and you give him a shot at it. Damon Chang. Jake Moody. Are you kidding? That happened. It's crazy. Red Jet, thank you very much. Again, now they even need a tight end. You know, I saw that Daniel Jeremiah is saying in the upcoming draft, the Oregon tight end, who is very good, but you know what? They don't need a tight end more than they need other positions. Not even close. Go to battle with Jake Tongas. Go to battle with frickin' Luke Farrell, who you went and signed. The guy didn't do anything for you all year. Your tight end depth, you better use it before you try to get somebody to be on top of that. Or go sign Kyle Pitts. You know, I know Purdy loves his tight ends, but you can get a good tight end without having to draft one. I think you got a pretty good tight end as a receiver in Tongas right now. Develop him. You need an offensive lineman. You need a defensive lineman. You need a wide receiver who can actually catch a football and take it to an end zone. You need linebackers at Will, Sam, and Mike. You need linebackers everywhere. You need another defensive end, even though you spent last year's first-round draft pick on one of those. You need another defensive tackle, even though you spent multiple draft picks on defensive tackles. You need to have a succession plan for Trent Williams before Trent literally keels over and dies. So you better draft offensive line. You better build a wall around Brock Purdy. Have you seen the way these other teams are built? Trench warfare is why you lost. You couldn't play it nearly as well as the Rams or as the Seahawks. How you got through the Eagles still feels a little bit like a miracle when you look back on it. Lots. Yeah, Tongas is a free agent. Sign him. Again, Linderbaum on the free agent market, sign him. Tell Parag to be, quit being such a dork, or be the dork that you are and figure out that cap space. You figure it out. The cap is real and an illusion all at the same time. Figure it out. And NFL free agency starts in 43 days. The NFL draft starts in 88 days. They're not going to bring in anyone new to look at this. And if they absolutely repeat history, they're going to draft four dudes who you never even see play a down of football for the 49ers next year. I think I've said enough. I want to tell you a little bit about this Super Bowl, though, that's coming up that I thought was kind of interesting here. So, it's Seattle minus 5 right now, with an over-under set at 46, I believe. The early betting public loves the Seahawks. The look-ahead line for this Super Bowl was minus 3.5. Again, that was quickly bet up to 5. And the sharp money, has it even come in yet? I don't think so. But, you know, you could need some money to move a line 1.5. But it's the Super Bowl. A lot of public money can come in and start moving lines, too, with incremental bets. But I don't know if the real whales have thrown down on this yet. If you like Seattle, bet them today, because I think that number is only going up. I bet you this game goes off at Seattle minus 6.5. I do. And I still think that the Seahawks are going to cover that. Like, this feels like Seahawks 20, Patriots 13. This feels like a low-scoring Super Bowl, and that plays right into the Seahawks, I think. By the way, 46 is the lowest total in a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 50, which was Broncos-Panthers at Levi's Stadium. That total was 43. This is also the first meeting where both coaches were first-time Super Bowl coaches since Super Bowl 50. So a lot of symmetry between Super Bowl 50 and now 10 years later, Super Bowl 60. What's changed? Well, concern about that electrical substation, for one. The Patriots entered the season with 80-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. In the last 50 years, three other teams reached the Super Bowl with 80-1 odds or higher, but only one of them, the greatest show on turf, the 1999 St. Louis Rams, won. So the other two teams that both lost were the 2021 Bengals and the 2016 Falcons. So look, everything to me points Seattle here early. Everything to me points Seattle early. And the fact that we have seen offense as a concept basically vanish from the Patriots, whether it be in good weather, poor weather, bad weather, whatever. And the weather, I'm sure, will be fine in Santa Clara. But I think the Seahawks win this Super Bowl. I do. I like Vrabel. I like New England's defense. I just don't like New England's offense against Seattle's defense as much as I like Seattle's offense against New England's defense. That's the difference in the game. I think they're going to be able to run it. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is basically, you can't slow him down. And that's the difference in the game. Now, do I like Drake May? I do. You know, getting Drake May to be a read option guy, I think, is something that needs to happen. I think Denver would be still playing if they asked Stidham to be a read option guy and gave him more plays running the ball. Denver probably should be in this game, but Sean Payton decided to not kick a field goal early, and by the time old General Winter came in and just snuffed out any concept of offense in that game, it was too late. Give me the better defense and the team that runs the ball. Again, it's amazing how football can embrace the concept of rethinking fourth down and getting more aggressive in certain situations. And I support that. I really do. I do think you now need to be on the edge of field goal range playing for fourth down. In playoff games, you take the points. In playoff games, you take points. I can't believe that McVay didn't do it. I can't believe that Peyton didn't do it. And I think both of them are going home because of it. Damon, I think the substation is messing up your video. Oh, no. Is that what's going on? I'm a little fuzzy on your end. Damn it. I got to restart the router. The damn router. Sorry about being fuzzy. Look. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Warriors, and yeah, they won in Minnesota, but what a weekend in Minnesota. And, you know, I don't think I do this station any favors, this channel any favors, when politics comes up as a topic, but this is beyond politics. This is a question of what do you think America is founded on? I've been told that the First and Second Amendments are the single two most important things in America. Those were completely eviscerated this past weekend. What are we doing? What are we doing? Let me just say, if anything that just happened in Minnesota had happened under the watch of Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, the outrage would be so flamed and universal on the right, but they continue to just ignore it. NRA, you pussies. Where are you? Where are you? What could be more stripping of a Second Amendment right than you're not allowed to bring a legally owned firearm that you are legally allowed to carry? What could be more anti-NRA than that? Yet they're literally rolling over and taking it like the bitch boys they are. It is gross. A U.S. citizen who was lawfully carrying a firearm as he was protesting was shot and killed because he was lawfully carrying a firearm and protesting. Anyone going to say anything about that on the right? Or is it just, we're going to protect a pedophile no matter what? Because that's what it looks like. And oh, by the way, I can tell you this, for the you're standing with the water isn't wet crowd. We all know that water's wet. We can see that. We've had water before. We have this thing filmed from a million different angles. And you're telling me that that guy was a domestic terrorist? Are we serious? Are we doing that? Because, yeah, you are doing that. Again, and then they officially tipped their hand. They gave away the game. ICE will leave if you hand over your voting records. So this isn't about immigration at all. You know, border patrol. Like there's a border between Minnesota and Mexico that you have to guard. What is going on? What is going on? Authoritarianism. Tyranny. That's what's going on here. The party that told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final and most essential command. I think of that every hour. Everything the right claims to stand for and hold the most dear to them has been violated. Not a word. You cowards. You have to speak out against that if you're any sort of raised well, true American. What just happened in Minnesota is the definition of that ain't how we do it here. That's undebatable. That is undebatable. That is not what we do in the United States of America, which makes us the country that we claim is so great. If I have turned you off with any of that commentary, Bafangul, you will not be missed. And you're part of the problem. You boot-licking. You know what? Where are the Epstein files? I thought you were anti that too. Where are those? You're just going to allow that to not happen? Let me tell you, you don't need to acknowledge reality when you have impunity. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a president operating with impunity. And that's not a president. That's not checks and balances. That's king shit. And all kings must die in this country. We don't do kings here. It's not who we are. Where are all these brave Second Amendment, taking up arms against tyranny, against my government? You're literally watching what you said you would defend against, and you're not doing anything. How come local militias haven't shown up? Kyle Rittenhouse can bring a gun wherever he wants, and he's a good guy. A guy who is an ICU nurse at a Veterans Affairs hospital with a gun on his person, legally, has a phone in his hand, is murdered. Nothing. This is gross. This is gross. And here's the thing. Look, okay, later, libtards. I am literally arguing for the things that you say are the cornerstone of your conservative movement. That's your hypocrisy. Your ass is hanging out. We see it. I see it. We all see it. Everything you said was important. Donald Trump has done the opposite. And you're like, we're cool. Own the libs. You're owning yourself, man. Hopefully it is your son or daughter that is shot next. Because he doesn't give a fuck about you. This is a power grab. This is bullying. This is causing a level of chaos in which he can continue to thrive. He will burn down every American city in the name of I get to be president in my tacky-ass, gold-flecked Oval Office. Your ass is hanging out. Again, Second Amendment was the most important thing to Republicans. You just had the head of the FBI say, doesn't apply here. Oh! Put those words in Kamala's mouth. Put those words in Joe Biden's mouth. Put those words in Jen Psaki, whatever her name is, mouth. Let them come out of that. You would literally be burning people in effigy. It's gross, man. Are you ready for today in history? I am. Here we go. And don't tell me I'm not a student of history. That's why we end every show with what happened and what does it matter today? Happy birthday to Scott Glenn. Scott Glenn is 87 years old. Scott Glenn is one of those guys that you don't really recognize him. Or, you know, you recognize him everywhere, but you didn't know what his name was. He's one of those actors. Scott Glenn, happy 87th birthday. Still great in, what's the movie about all the astronauts? I was going to say all the right moves, the right things, the right time. What was that? I can't remember it right now. All right. Happy birthday to Ellen. You know you were famous when I can just say your name and you know who I'm talking about. I don't have to say DeGeneres. Happy birthday, Ellen. She's 68 years old today. Happy birthday to Wayne Gretzky, 65 years old. And happy birthday to Vince Carter, who's 49 years old today. Happy birthday to the state of Michigan. In 1837, Michigan became the 26th United State admitted into the Union. So happy birthday, Michigan. Your last football championship was wrought with fraud and cheating. Indiana's is not. Let's see here. Today in 1838, Tennessee became the first state to prohibit alcohol. Screw you, Tennessee. Today, in 1858, The Wedding March by Felix Mendelssohn was played at the marriage of Queen Victoria's daughter, Victoria, and Friedrich of Prussia. The Wedding March is not the Here Comes the Bride. The Wedding March is the... That's the wedding march. It's what you usually hear as the bride and groom are exiting the church. For my wedding march, we played Talking Heads. We played Naive Melody by the Talking Heads. Let's see. Oh, you want to talk about maybe you guys screwed this up. Today in 1905, a diamond that weighed over a pound was found in the premier mine of South Africa. When it was presented to the mining office, however, it was dismissed as worthless crystal and it got tossed out the window. It was recovered. And soon after that, in 1907, it was sold to the King of Britain. The gem, which became known as the Cullinan Diamond, eventually spawned 9 major stones and 96 minor stones. How would you like to have been the foreman that day who said, yeah, get rid of that. That's too big to be a diamond. Get rid of it. No, that's a screw up. That's one of the all-time business screw ups of all time, right? Like, what would you say it is you do here, Mr. Diamond Mind Guy? We're still way back in time here. How about this? Today in 1906, the world's steam car land speed record was set at 127.7 miles per hour by Fred Marriott racing at Daytona Beach, Florida. A steam engine. Now, I could see how that alone would make this record stand. This record stood for 103 years. It wouldn't be broken until 2009. I guess we don't make a lot of steam cars, but you figure, what land speed record ever had a 103-year run? So, you know, shout out steam. Today in 1912, Jim Thorpe relinquished his Olympic medal for being a professional athlete. He was paid for playing 2 seasons of semi-pro baseball before competing in the Olympics, thus violating the amateur rules at that time. You want to talk about how things have changed? You literally got guys in the G League trying to go play SEC basketball now. You got guys who are professional college football players now. Anyways, his Olympic medals were reinstated posthumously by an act of Congress in 1983. Good for Jim Thorpe. Today in 1915, the Rocky Mountains National Park was established. As we're all looking for consensus, like it doesn't matter if you are a Republican, a Democrat, doesn't matter if you believe in God, if you're an atheist. The one thing we all can agree on is Rocky Mountain National Park. Good job, everybody. Let's keep that up. Nice job, everyone. Let's fast forward to today in 1979, because they were just good old boys, never meaning no harm. Bo and Luke Duke the General Lee, not the most politically correct car we have ever seen on television, but one of the dopest. Let's be honest. General Lee was awesome. It really was. Anyways, the Dukes of Hazzard debuted on CBS today in 1979. It is very difficult to rewatch a Dukes of Hazzard and say, yeah, this used to entertain America, and not realize how dumb America was or how innocent TV was. Or, I mean, like, you know, it's also a terrible, like, oh man, I love that when I was a kid, but now you just get the A-Team. The A-Team. It's tough to sit through an A-Team and not think, man, I was the dumbest 11-year-old in the world. Same thing with the Dukes of Hazzard. It was great. I got warm, fuzzy memories of it. If you try to watch one of those now, you're like, God, we were stupid. Today in 1988, the Phantom of the Opera opened on Broadway, January 26, 1988. It closed in April of 2023. To this day, Broadway's longest running show and musical, The Phantom of the Opera. There you go. And then I hate to end on such a sad note. In 2020, today, Kobe Bryant, the helicopter crash took a 41-year-old Kobe Bryant, took his beautiful daughter, Gianna, 13 years old, and seven other souls down. I remember hearing about that news as I was going to the airport in Austin, Texas. I had just flown into Austin, Texas to go to a Trey Anastasio show at Austin City Limits. I wanted to see Austin City Limits as much as I wanted to see Trey. And I went with my buddy Ben Sabrin, and we had a great time, and we had Franklin's Barbecue, and we just had a great 48 hours in Austin. He lives there, so it was a great visit for me. And the very next day, we are up, we're watching something, and I open my phone, and that's when it started. Kobe Bryant involved in a helicopter crash. Kobe Bryant's helicopter goes down. Kobe Bryant feared dead. Kobe Bryant, oh my God. I remember getting to the airport that day. And I don't think I've ever talked to as many strangers in an airport until Indiana won a national championship and I was high-fiving everybody in a concourse wearing cream and crimson. But I mean, it was a day where everyone was stunned that that had happened. Oh, you want to talk about a remember where you were when you found out the news of, I'll remember that forever. I was on my way to the airport in Austin, Texas, when the news about Kobe Bryant dying in that helicopter came out. All of those souls, what a waste. What a waste of talent. What a waste of young people. Oh, brutal. So not exactly the fun way to end the show, but that is where we ended today. It's not exactly fun to know that the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. This could be worse than Turkey on the 50. So go Patriots. I don't like your chances. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you for being a part of this. We'll reset the router, hopefully have less grainy footage for you coming up tomorrow. If the footage was too grainy, again, download that podcast. Anywhere you get your podcasts, that's where we will be. You can go ahead and download the Damon Bruce Show. Eat at Ike's, drink at the Dubliner, put your plays over on Sleeper. And thanks to all of you for watching. I love you. Take care of each other. And if you believe in the Constitution, start asking some hard questions about which way you might lean politically. Because this shit ain't America. Not even close. Sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.